Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and have had a lovely weekend. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, the 14th of July. Coming up today, a mum has issued a warning about sunbeds after being diagnosed with skin cancer, and a Kent man who was involved in Live Aid has been reflecting on the event 40 years on. But first, taking a look at our top story today, an investigation's underway following the death of an Amazon delivery driver on a level crossing near Sittingbourne. A van was hit by a train in Tenham yesterday afternoon. Reporter Brad Harper brings us more from the scene.
I'm in Tenham between Faversham and Sittingbourne this morning after an Amazon delivery driver died in a collision at a level crossing. Emergency services descended on the scene in Lower Road shortly before 1 p.m. yesterday after a train struck a van, causing it to burst into flames. Sadly, a man died at the scene. The Rail Accident Investigation Branch has launched a probe into the incident, which happened at a level crossing between Hempstead Lane and Frognall Lane. Trains can be seen running through the area as usual this morning. Meanwhile, Amazon says its thoughts and deepest sympathies are with the delivery driver's family and loved ones during this difficult time. It adds it's working with police and the delivery service provider as they investigate.
Kent Online News.
At least 9 suspicious devices have been found by bomb disposal teams following a police shooting near Maidstone. A man with a chainsaw was seriously injured by an officer in Hollingbourne on Monday night. We've had an update over the weekend saying he's still in hospital, and searches which led to intermittent closures of the A20 have now been completed. A driver's appeared in court after hitting a former international athlete with her car near Canterbury. Bobby Clay, who competed for Great Britain in 2016, suffered a fractured spine while she was knocked down while out for a run in October 2023. Janet Carpenter admitted causing serious injury by careless or inconsiderate driving after failing to slow down when dazzled by low sunlight. The 66-year-old from High Street in Wingham has been given a 12-month community order, which includes 200 hours of unpaid work. A Medway woman's been telling us how scary it was to be diagnosed with skin cancer after years of using sunbeds. Levi Mariah Varell had to have surgery after it was discovered in 2022. The mum of two from Rochester is sharing her story to warn others and raise awareness.
I had a patch show up on my face that initially I thought was pigmentation. But the more that I was using sunbeds, the more it was getting bigger, and you could really sort of see it on my face. So I went to the doctors and they referred me off for a biopsy. I had the biopsy and the results come back that it was actually skin cancer. Now, my skin is quite fair. I am really, really freckly. Like, I'm freckly all over. And this is one of the worst skin types for sun exposure. So in 2022, I went and had a procedure done where they removed the cancer. I was still young. I was only 30. And it absolutely terrified the life out of me, especially the fact that I am a mum. It worried me, the fact that I was even told that I had some form of cancer. I was absolutely petrified. Number one, because I'm a mum, and I thought how stupid of myself that I've literally brought this upon myself. And number two, because it was also on my face, and I just didn't know what the end result was going to be like. People, when they think of skin cancer, they think of like a raised mole, itchy mole, dark in colour, flaking skin. I had none of that. Mine literally looked like pigmentation. Please, if you're worried about anything, please go and get it checked, because the longer it's left, the more it will progress. And actually, some family members went and got checked out for the same reason, and it turned out that they had skin cancer too. So if I can just share my own experience, I'm hoping that that might help someone. I'm hoping that it might actually make women think about, and young girls especially. So please look after yourself, girls. You can still sit in the sun, but please protect your skin.
There's advice on how to stay safe on the Cancer Research UK website. In other news, an inquest has found prison officers at a Kent jail carried out inappropriate and disproportionate restraint on an inmate moments before his death. 28-year-old Azroy Doyes Clark from Romford suffered multiple cardiac arrests at HMP Elmley on Sheppey in November of 2021. A coroner's ordered 3 separate prevention of future death death reports. The prison service say they've taken action to improve staff training. A Kent mum is urging other parents to listen to their instincts after her daughter's cold turned out to be pneumonia. Jessica Ball from Sheerness took five-year-old Mabel to the doctors in January and was told her illness was probably flu. Symptoms got worse, so she asked for a hospital scan, which showed the little girl had a collapsed lung. She's now raising money for King's College Hospital to thank them for treating her daughter.
Kent Online News.
A motorcyclist has been taken to hospital following a crash on the M25. The motorway had to be closed after three vehicles collided between Swanley and Dartford yesterday evening. We're told the biker suffered leg injuries. Campaigners have vandalised vehicles at a Tesla dealership in Dartford as part of a protest against Elon Musk. The group, called Oil Sabs, claims his support of Donald Trump has led to more burning of fossil fuels. Tyres have been drilled and paintwork scratched at various sites across the country. A Dover man who used a stolen debit card to buy takeaways has avoided being sent to prison. Christopher Bygrave also stole items from a co-op in Ramsgate. The 26-year-old from Durham Hill admitted shoplifting and fraud charges. He's been placed on a 12-month conditional discharge. Bosses in Thanet are hoping to revive plans to fine people for swearing in public. They were forced to abandon the idea last August after free speech campaigners threatened to take it to the High Court. Official papers show it's being considered again as a way of cracking down on antisocial behaviour. Another dispersal order was in force in Broadstairs, Margate and Ramsgate over the weekend, giving police the power to move on anyone causing trouble. Kent Fire and Rescue have been telling us about the added risks for people living in rural areas. Around 85% of the county is classed as rural, with a large number of people in isolated villages, which could take longer for crews to get to. They've now launched a consultation to hear what people living in more remote areas need from the fire service. I've been speaking to Chief Executive Anne Millington about what sort of feedback they're looking for.
I think it's two things. One is obviously to look at the issues that we've put out to people, but also we're very, very keen always to hear from people saying, you haven't thought about this, or what about this particular risk? 85% of Kent is rural. That means we've got people living in very isolated villages, sometimes on their own in a home. It takes us longer to get there potentially. But we see issues of wildfire, water, people, seasonal workers living in caravans, for instance. There are so many different issues. So we're very, very keen to hear from people in terms of I say what concerns them, but equally to reflect on the proposals that we're making, which is, for instance, one of the things is that we would really like to get more daytime cover, but that requires having people in those local areas come forward as on-call firefighters. So they do, you know, they have a day job or another kind of job, and then they also work for us as well.
Is it particularly dangerous at the moment? I know we're experiencing a run of warm weather, but we're also seeing a run of dry weather. Have you already seen people come forward with concerns about how dry the land is at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. And the bad year for us is 2022, but and it's not necessarily going to be this every single year that you'll see this. But we literally, 19th of July 2022, will stay in everybody's memory in Kent Fire and Rescue. I think we've got 75 fire engines, and we were literally had 74 of them out. Our firefighters did an amazing job. But Dartford Heath, for instance, there were lots of other areas. And you always, as it gets drier and warmer, you will see more of those kind of wildfires starting. You'll see fires in different areas. We come to the summer months now when children are off school. So people can set fires. We can see people obviously taking temporary barbecues out with them, leaving cigarette butts, all sorts of things will be a starter if you've got very, very dry land for it to kind of catch very quickly.
Does it get a little bit frustrating? I mean, we hear the same messages year in, year out. Be careful with disposable barbecues. Be careful with, you know, as you said, dropping cigarette butts with open flames outside. We seem to hear the same messages over and over again. Does it get a bit frustrating that people don't seem to be getting the message?
I don't know about frustrating. I mean, people live their lives, don't they? And I suppose it, you know, people want to enjoy their summer. They want to enjoy their time with their families. It's very easy to forget these things, and we're completely conscious of that. I suppose it's just those constant reminders that we do give about, you know, that just that one moment of forgetfulness can cause so much distress and harm to so many people. So we absolutely want people to enjoy their summer, but at the same time, just that little bit of care will make a difference. And whilst I'm talking about that, Kate, I wonder if that's okay with you, just take that moment to remind people about drownings as well. We're actually a very high number of drownings in the county, very sadly. Lots of people coming in for their summer around Sheppey and different places around the coast, inland waters. I think just that momentary kind of advice to young children, especially, and kids playing around And we do see, sadly, so many children dying across the summer and others. So just that moment to remind people about just that little bit of care and advice to children and people messing around near water.
It comes as Kent experienced its driest spring since 1893, and a hosepipe ban is now in force for South East Water customers. Bosses in Gravesham say the Grenfell Tower disaster has led to them bringing in tougher restrictions on what can be kept on balconies. Tenants in council-owned flats have been told to remove items that could help spread a fire, including screening and plastic furniture. Some people living in Shepherd Street in Northfleet say it's over the top. The authorities say their first responsibility is safety. An appeal has been launched against a decision to refuse a new housing development on Sheppey. Plans to build 31 properties on fields at the back of Nelson Avenue in Minster were rejected last year. Council bosses are concerned about the loss of green space and are urging residents to have their say before a decision's made. Elsewhere, planning permission has been submitted for a solar farm the size of 70 football pitches between two villages in Ashford. Green energy firm Quintas Cleantech are eyeing up the 148-acre site in Appledore Road, just 1 mile from Woodchurch. If built, it could produce enough electricity to supply more than 10,000 homes. A decision is due by early October. And plans to transform a barn near Folkestone into a wedding venue have been rejected. The owner of Longage Manor Farm in Lyming wanted to hold events in the building. It could also have been used for community activities, but neighbours raised concerns about the noise and added traffic.
Kent Online News.
40 years on from the iconic Live Aid concerts, a former broadcaster from Kent who was involved reckons it should happen again. The gigs in London and Philadelphia raised around £150 million for people in Africa affected by famine. Steve Blacknall from Hythe travelled on Concorde to both events back in 1985. He's been telling reporter Sam Lennon about taking the trip with Phil Collins.
I was chosen for Live Aid because I had a TV show over there on MTV, which was doing quite well. So I won the battle to do the transatlantic trip with Collins. I met him on the tarmac at Heathrow. I think Mr. Edmonds, Noel Edmonds, had taken him there quite nicely. He deposited him on the tarmac. We had a bit of a chat. Up we toddled up the steps, and before we knew it, we were sitting on the top left, as I remember, on Concorde, just rattling away about, life, really.
How do you best sum up Phil Collins as a person from that time you were with him?
Phil Collins himself is a very warm man, a very funny man. Down to earth, but I mean, I think all pop stars should be down to earth because we make them after all, they're only human beings. But he was an exceptionally, and still is, an exceptionally lovely man and great fun to be with. And he was well up for the day as well.
Did he explain why he wanted to sort of perform in both shows?
I don't really know why Phil chose to do this. I mean, I think it's like conquering Everest, you know, because it's there or it seemed a good idea at the time. I don't think there was any master plan. I think Phil just fancied it. But I mean, for anyone to do a gig in front of all those people at Wembley is one thing. But it takes a bit of a superhero to actually go across the Atlantic and do it again. So, you know, thumbs up. Well done, Phil.
Yeah. How do you look back on 40 years on, and you're right in the middle of Live Aid? How do you look back on it? The importance of it, what precedent did it set?
Looking back on Live Aid now, 40 years ago, it seems like yesterday, to be frank with you, and my mother not being impressed, saying, I hope you're well off for underpants while you're over there. You know, all those things, you know, just they're the things that stick in my mind, not what we did. I was just doing my job, to be frank with you. I was only 3 or 4 years into my 80s career. And of course, Phil Collins, wow. But it was very easy, the whole thing. And it only really hit me when I got back to London the following day, what we'd done, or really what Geldof had done. We were just part of it. I mean, there are many views on Bob Geldof, but he did an amazing job. And Midge too. Midge did an equally great job. So what they did is long in history and will remain really one of the, probably the greatest rock and roll event of the time in the history of rock and roll.
Paul Gambaccini said, what had been Guildford discovered unwittingly was the untapped power of rock.
What Live Aid did was raise money for the starving.
And simple.
It's very, very simple. It's very simple what Live Aid did. It raised money for starving people. When you look at the planet now, it makes you think, is it time for another event like that? Because the planet is really going into reverse at the moment with all this. Certainly, what Bob Geldof and Midge did was create history and help people. And for that, well done.
The biggest names in music at the time were involved, and it was watched by 1.9 billion people around the world. There's said to be some disruption in Ashford as work continues on a new Aldi in the town. It's being built on the A28 Canterbury Road, and closures are needed to put traffic management measures in place. The store was originally due to open this year, but it's been put back to 2026. There's disappointment from parents as a soft play centre in Maidstone is suddenly closed. A sign's been put up in the window of Cheeky Dino in St Peter Street. It's claimed the landlord has terminated their lease with immediate effect. Plans to expand a secondary school near Gravesend have been given the go-ahead. New classrooms, engineering workshops and catering spaces are going to be built at Northfleet Technology College. It'll allow them to accommodate an extra 200 students.
Kent Online News.
A pizza shop in Whitstable is going to start opening on Monday nights to encourage more people into the town. The new owner of Castellum Pizzeria in Oxford Street says it's often too quiet because everything is closed. He's hoping to boost business by providing somewhere for visitors to eat. A Raina man has set up a safari yard sale with more than 140 households signing up to take part. It's an event that sees multiple yard and garage sales taking place at the same time. It'll be happening next Sunday with residents across Lower Raynham, Wigmore and Parkwood selling from their driveways. A pub in Kent Village with a population of just 850 has reached the final of a national competition. The Sun Inn at St Nicholas at Wade is a finalist at this year's Great British Pub Awards. A secret shopper-style judge will visit before the winners are announced at a ceremony in September. And as the hot weather continues, it seems it's warm enough for Kent to grow bananas. They've been found on a plant in a garden in Deal for the first time. The banana tree is around 12 feet tall and it's very rare for them to produce fruit in the UK.
Kent Online Sport.
Football first, and it was another decent result for Gillingham in their latest pre-season friendly. They drew 0-0 with League One Reading at Priestfield. Manager Gareth Ainsworth told us how he felt after the match.
Really pleased. We got what we wanted again. We got some real good fitness work out of that one. No injuries, which is good. And I thought we pressed the Reading team really well, especially first half. You know, we're probably a bit more experienced in the team. Got the ball down well, had the best chances of the game, if I'm being totally honest. I thought we probably had, Bradley was really disappointed, he didn't hit the net with his left foot, and you want it to fall to someone like Bradley. Seb looked good, you know, trying to get through, and then Gailey, obviously, second half getting through. And so I thought we limited Reading to little chances. You know, they had the one cross and the scare in the second half, but overall, really pleased with what the boys have taken on so far. We haven't worked a great deal on everything. We haven't focused on one thing. We did a lot of attacking play. We've done a lot of defending work, and then I put a press into place, and the lads have grabbed it really well. Some of them have never done that before, you know. And the second half team, we're a bit younger, you know. Some of our youngsters coming through, and again, first of all, well done youngsters, plenty to learn, and well done held you on against the Reading first team. And secondly, the older players who played with them, well done, because you've secured the ship, you know, the likes of Ethan and I'm calling Andy Smith and Sam Gale, old ones now, but they're more experienced ones, Jack Nolan, you know, and people like Max Clark. So they really showed me that we've got a good squad here, you know, and got a good chance. I still want to add one or two, definitely, and the squad will shape as we get to the start of the season. But yeah, we've taken a team who finished what, 8th or 9th in League 1 last season. I know it's pre-season, the results don't mean anything in pre-season, but you get a feeling as a manager, and I believe if we can do what we did today against some teams in League 2, we'll win those games. Obviously everyone wants to play a little bit more, and there'll be ways to do that. And again, me and Dobbo will be looking at the video going, right, when they do put a high press on, how do we play out? How do we get more of the ball? We did do it first half, I thought. Second half, we didn't get as much of the ball as I wanted, and it became a bit of a long ball sort of battle. But with someone like Josh Andrews, again, you know, what a weapon he could be. No, really, really pleased where we are. But it's pre-season, and it's only our second game. So, yeah, it's a 0-0. I'm sorry for the fans. I'm sure they came to see goals. They saw chances, but we didn't stick it in the net. But we certainly will start doing that. I promise that. And we've got some good players out there.
It's now less than 3 weeks until the start of the season. Kent's Alessia Russo says their progression at the Women's Euros is really exciting. The defending champions recovered from an early defeat to France to reach the quarterfinals of the tournament. A 6-1 victory over Wales last night sealed their place in the last eight. Russo says they have big ambitions.
We want to be here right till the end. The reaction was really important. And I think you could see that in the performances against Holland and tonight.
They'll play Sweden on Thursday. today. To cricket now, and Kent's women have lost the opening game of the first ever double header at Canterbury over the weekend. They were beaten by Middlesex by 41 runs. Elsa Barnfather made 35. She says while the result was disappointing, it was incredible to have the support of a record crowd.
The support of the crowd was so good, especially in those tricky periods in the field where felt a big bump down, but with the crowd behind us cheering everything, every positive thing we've done, like, just makes a difference. I think it's just such a new group that it's going to take time to figure out, like, who does what and what's our best 11, but all of it's learning, I think, with the whole new system of tier one, tier two, figuring out what the standard is. So everything's a learning, and we'll take the positives and keep on learning.
Around 1,500 people were there for the day. The men's team fared much better, beating Middlesex by 7 wickets. After the match, Tawanda Mayai says it's enough to keep their Vitality Blast quarterfinal hopes alive.
Adam's philosophy is obviously give it a crack. So if we're going to get out, if we're going to go out of the comp, at least like do it with trying and going for it, and don't be timid and just give it your all. And I think the boys kind of showed that, and I think we're such a good team when our back's against the wall. I don't know why that seems to be the case. So I think if we can kind of couple that up with winning games and doing well in other moments and other situations, then we'll be fine. But I think the ability to kind of, when the back's against the wall, to put up a performance, I think it's pretty good in the group.
That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.